For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Migs Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Migs.
Beat Migs, don't be a loser.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Scott from Oak Harbor is. Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm Sarah, your host, and it's time for you to get out of here, Steve.
Bye-bye.
For those playing at home, Scott has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you only get three guesses per question. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the lead singer of Soundgarden?
Chris Cornell.
Correct. How many cards are in a standard deck?
52.
Yes. Speedy was the first ever mascot for what fast food chain?
Repeat.
Speedy was the first ever mascot for what fast food chain?
Fast.
Chrysanthemums are the birth flower for what month?
May, June, July.
No. In mathematics, which theory focuses on the measurement and properties of shapes and figures?
Geometry?
Correct. Beginning with D, what is the real first name of Larry the Cable Guy?
No clue. Pass.
Who did the Seahawks play yesterday?
The stupid Rams.
Correct. In The Lion King, who is Simba's dad?
Mufasa.
Yes. What instrument did Louis Armstrong play?
Trumpet.
Yes. The arcade video game Space Invaders came out in what decade?
80s.
No.
70s.
Yes. Speedy was the first ever mascot for what fast food chain?
Charles Jr.
No. Scott, you got 7 correct.
We can work with this, Scott.
It's my second highest score ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you win when you got your first highest score?
Yeah, it was a perfect 10. But the last time I was able to get through was pre-COVID, and my all-time record is 5-3-2.
Wow. All right. Well, Steve, are you ready?
Yes.
Who was the lead singer of Soundgarden?
Oh, Chris Cornell.
Correct. How many cards are in a standard deck?
52.
Yes. Speedy was the first ever mascot for what fast food chain?
Jimmy John's?
No. That would make sense, though.
Domino's?
No.
Taco Bell?
No. Chrysanthemums are the birth flower for what month?
November?
Yes.
Yeah.
In mathematics, which theory focuses on the measurement and properties of shapes and figures?
Is that like trigonometry?
No.
Oh. Numerometry?
No.
Cryptopathy?
No. Beginning with D, what is the real first name of Larry the Cable Guy?
Daniel?
Yes. No. Who did the Seahawks play yesterday?
I already forgot what happened yesterday. I didn't like to keep it that way, but it's the Los Angeles Rams.
It is. In The Lion King, who is Simba's dad?
Mufasa.
Correct. What instrument did Louis Armstrong play?
Trumpet.
Yes. The arcade video
game. I couldn't tell.
I think he said damn it.
Damn it. Okay. I didn't know if he said the S words. I'm like, let me be safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to be extra safe, so I won.
Yeah, you did win. 8-7. You just wanted me to repeat that.
Well, you know, because we had to dump the audio and I didn't want anyone to miss out knowing that I won the game.
Oh, yeah, of course. You both did not know the first ever mascot named Speedy was for...
Taryn?
I don't know.
McDonald's.
McDonald's?
Oh, really?
What was Speedy, a mouse?
I don't know, actually, now that you say that. Well, I mean, it's better than Ronald McDonald.
He's a little creepy.
He's hella creepy.
You two need to watch your mouth.
You're a Ronald McDonald lover?
I love all the characters from McDonald's.
You don't think he's a little scary?
No, I'm not scared of clowns.
I'm not either, but he still looks weird.
He looks lovable and a person that you'd want to grab a burger with.
Absolutely not.
He looks like the safest clown of all the clowns? Like, if you were going to line up a bunch of iconic clowns, and which one would you not cross the street to get away from? I feel like Ronald's the one that I'm going to stick around and say hi to.
I'm a J.P. Patches girl, personally.
Yeah, but he's just local. I'm talking, like, on a national level.
It has a balloon, and I love balloons.
And that guy's name's Pennywise.
Oh, Pennywise has a balloon, so I'm going with Pennywise.
Ronald's got a Big Mac.
Says, you're talking to a vegetarian here, okay?
Ronald's
that does
got
nothing for me.
A crap ton of delicious fries.
No. Well, congrats, Steve, on beating Scott.
Yes, Steve Miggs won, but the Seahawks lost.
Oh.
And one player held a press conference to apologize to the fans. You're going to hear what he said after Pearl Jam. During his press conference after the loss, Geno Smith went on to apologize to us Seahawks fans.
Oh, yeah. It was very somber looking, too. He looked very sad, which turned into a lot of memes. I'm like, damn it, I don't want to see these memes of Geno.
It's heartbreaking my heart.
But here he is during the press conference.
You know, first of all, I just want to really start out by apologizing to my teammates, really, and to the city, to the organization. You know, they put a lot of trust in me with my decision making, and you know, when they put the ball in my hands, when my teammates play the way they play today and give us a shot to win the game, I got to make sure we do. Things I did today, mistakes that I made, they affected us negatively, and you know, really cost us the game today. You know, me knowing myself, I know how much this is going to hurt. I'm gonna step it up, though. That's how I feel about it. I'm gonna step it up.
At what point, you know, Geno stepped it up? I love Geno, but like whenever you hear players say, like, it all ends today, and then it's like, well, you kind of had that mindset, like, you know, maybe 9 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I don't mean to be that guy. I do give him credit, though, because, you know, last week the press conference was short and sweet, and you could just tell he was not in a good mood. So I wonder, like, you know, that he realized, okay, I got kind of crucified for that. People were kind of not happy with that. Maybe, okay, I know we lost, but let me go into this press conference and be a little less short with the reporters.
For sure.
And someone did have a follow-up question about what he was talking about.
What is it about this particular loss that has you apologizing?
Well, I just feel like our team played extremely well. And again, man, I thought our crowd was in it the entire time. I mean, it was electric in there. And
It was super loud. Even watching on TV, like, the place was just rocking.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in that last couple of minutes in the first half.
Oh.
So good.
Go Hawks.
Knowing myself, man, knowing how much work I put in, knowing the standard I have for myself, if I do my job and, you know, don't have those turnovers, don't have that pick six, that's a 14-point swing right there, we win that game, in my opinion. And so when that's the case, I look directly at myself, I look in the mirror, and I say, what do I have to do? And I know what I have to do, and so I got to get it corrected.
Coach, do you think the mirror version of him is like, stop throwing the ball to the other team?
Easy peasy. What's so hard about this
answer.
Game?
That's your answer right there.
Coach McDonald also talked about the game and how even though they lost, he was actually proud of the team.
I am proud of our guys' fight. They played their tails off. They played hard last of the final second after facing all the adversity that we either faced or created for ourselves. And so I just felt like we didn't flinch and just and battled. So we got the right guys. We just have to make it come to life. So, you know, but we're our backs against the walls and we got to go.
You got the right guys. Got the wrong coach. You know, and I'm kidding.
Now we're running out of time.
Though you go on social media, people are already like, it's time to fire. And I'm like, Pete Carroll went 7-9 in his first season with the Seahawks. He also started the season kind of strong, and then it kind of fell apart after that. So, I mean, you can't just make a knee-jerk reaction based on a tough first season for this coach. I mean, of course, I would like to see them win more.
Yeah, we just got to let it marinate for a little bit longer. A lot of people are confused as to why we didn't just kick the field goal in overtime instead of opting for trying to get a first down on 4th-and-1, and here's why he did that.
That was a play call we liked. We liked the look. We got to be able to get a half yard in 2 shots. Great football teams convert 3rd and 4th and short.
And we're not a great football team, basically what he's trying to say right now.
And right now, we're not doing that. You know, there's math behind it. If you kick the field goal, they're on 4 downs all the way to field goal range. I felt like we had a great opportunity to go win it with a touchdown right there, so we went for it.
We talked to Mitch Levy earlier from Mitch Unfiltered, and you can listen to the podcast at Mitch at the Daily Migs Daily Podcast at KSW.com or on Odyssey app. And he really did break it down, because I'll be honest, after when they went for it, I was not excited about that. I know the announcer, like, we like to see this kind of, you know, confidence. But I was just like, our offense, I mean, yeah, we've had a couple moments that have looked good. But in the red zone, it has not been good. And our defense has played pretty well. So I was thinking, get the field goal and then let the defense win the game for you. They really only gave up 7 points. Or the field goal as well. So 10 points when it comes to, like, during the actual game, not during overtime. So I was like, you know what? I have a little bit more faith in that. But, you know, then Mitch brought up a solid point of, do you trust that they're going to actually get the field goal when they couldn't even get that extra point on one of their touchdowns? Like, damn it, I didn't think about that part.
Speaking of the Seahawks, Hall of Famer Walter Jones will be joining us for Live Night, which is very exciting, and those tickets are on sale at KISW.com.
Big Walt.
Big Walt.
Come hang out with Big Walt.
He's the coolest. Mm-hmm. December 13th, Showbox Soto. Now, we know that you are a massive music fan, Rockaholics, but do you think that you can name a song after only hearing 1 second of the chorus? Prove it, and if so, you will win tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the Lost Christmas Eve Tour, which is coming to Seattle, Climate Pledge Arena, Saturday, November 23rd. And all week long, we're going to give you an opportunity to be in the first five rows. Ooh. Today, you've got a shot at the fifth row. Tomorrow will be fourth row, so on and so on through the end of the week. Give us a call now, 206-803-ROCK, and we will play Hook or Shook at 920.
The Daily Mix Show.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Long, we have received texts and calls from you, but we have not yet had a chance to chat with everybody. But the time has come. We are checking in with the Rockaholics right now. So call us up if there's something you'd like to chime in on from this morning's show, or if you have anything on your mind that needs to be discussed. 206-803-ROCK. Brent from Port Townsend, tell us about local bands and how you discover them.
Hey, good morning. What a great show. Well, you know, I really like hanging out at the High Dive. You know, going to a couple, couple places, and like this band comes out, and I hear this song. I tell my coworker, and the next thing I know, the dude's like taking ownership over my band, telling everybody how great it is.
Like they discovered them.
Yeah, and even though I had nothing to do with their success or anything, I take total ownership for that.
Yeah, I've done that too sometimes where I'll be like, oh man, oh now all of a sudden likes this artist. I'm like, wait a second, isn't the whole point? I want people to like this band that I'm excited about. But then like for a half a second, you're like, you can't act like you knew about this band. I've been talking about him for years.
Exactly.
Brent, what's one of the favorite local bands that you've discovered in recent months or years?
Uncle Funk and the Dope Six.
Ooh.
That sounds like a band that Taryn would love.
Yeah. Rock on.
They're great, man.
Dude, it's funny. Like the one I remember for me, I don't know if you have one that you can remember that you kind of had ownership of. That sounds so silly. But like, you know, if you were like banging the drum and nobody was listening, it was A'Ron Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember it was like about 10 years ago, I was having him on my podcast. I was telling everyone, like, you got to check him out. And then it was a slow burn. But once things blew up, it was like, oh, this is amazing. Finally, more people are being exposed to just how talented that guy was. But when I first heard him, he put out like a CD that was produced by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh my gosh.
But it was like, you know, it wasn't like getting any traction. It was just like kind of out there, but it's been a lot of fun to see how much his career has blown up.
And Migs was there first.
All because it's funny, I just found it on YouTube. Like it's from like 8 years ago when he was on my podcast, and like here's what he sounded like on the podcast.
I know that you're afraid. But I'm in no rush.
I remember while watching him in the studio and he's performing, I'm just like, yeah, this dude's going to be larger than life at some point. Just so talented.
It's been awesome to just watch him springboard into success.
Mm-hmm.
Time.
Yeah, very cool. A'Ron Jones.
Giving me the goosebumps.
Oh, dude, it was always so fun whenever he'd just pop in. And I'd be like, can you play another one? Can you play? It was like I was at like a campfire with like a dude that's really talented. And I'm like, I don't want you to stop playing. Like, if you're willing to play more songs, just keep playing.
Migs, what would you say is your favorite fast food spot?
Oh, the King.
Burger King?
Burger King, baby.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, locally, I really like Taco Time.
Yeah.
I love Taco Time. But speaking of Burger King, you can possibly thank them for Metallica. How so? You're going to hear from Kirk Hammett from Metallica at 9:50.
The Daily Mix Show.
The next time you're jamming out to Metallica songs and listening to those sweet Kirk Hammett riffs, I want
his
you to be
sweet
thinking,
licks.
Yes. I want you to be thinking about something. And that is the fact that he bought a Flying V with the money he made as a teenager working at Burger King.
Huh.
Yeah, this is him talking about the guitar on Gibson TV's YouTube channel.
It's a Flying V. It's just a matter of what.
Yeah, this is the one that started it all. This is the one that I used to sit in my bedroom with.
You worked at Burger King for this guitar.
Yeah. This guitar has been stolen from me twice, and I've managed to get it back. It's been lost. The airlines lost it maybe two or three times, and I've managed to get it back. Die by My Hand was written on this guitar when I was 17 years old. Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, Injustice for All, and the Black Album, they're written on this guitar. All the guitar solos on Kill 'Em All were done on this guitar. All the guitar solos on Ride the Lightning were done on this guitar.
That's so cool.
Do you think that most guitar players save their first guitar?
I feel like a lot might. Like, I know Billy Joe Armstrong, he's got like that iconic one that has like a bunch of stickers on it. It has the letter B and the letter J for Billy Joe on there. It's kind of... Jerry Cantrell's got the KSW guitar.
Oh, I mean,
that's what we call it because we're, you know, narcissists over here. But it's the guitar that has the Rock logo three times right under the guitar strings. And that one he's had, I think, forever. So, yeah, I'd imagine for a lot of them, there's like a nostalgia to it. But the part that's kind of tripping me out, and I would love, I'm sure there's an article out there somewhere, but the fact that at some point maybe in your life you had Kirk Hammett cook you a Whopper cracks me up.
I think that's awesome. That would be, if I knew that information, that would be my claim to fame.
Do you think there's like, I feel like there's probably a lot of celebrities at some point worked at a fast food place. I'd be curious to know like which one they worked at.
Did you ever work at a fast food restaurant?
Well, I worked at like a mom and pop one. I tried to get a job at Burger King and they never called me back.
Oh. You didn't have the qualifications.
I applied for a McDonald's. When I first moved out here, I didn't know what to do. So I was like, I'm not going to be able to find a job in radio. I tried. So I was like applying to fast food places and I wasn't getting... That's when depression really hit.
Yeah, because they didn't want you.
They didn't want me. Did you work at a fast food place?
I didn't. I worked at a coffee stand once for like a hot minute, but okay. That was it.
A hot minute.
Hot minute. It was not
Sarah, I know you worked in the industry, in the restaurant industry.
I worked at a restaurant, a retirement home, but I...
A retirement home?
Yeah, I worked in the kitchen for a retirement home.
Nice. Yes.
Old people get weird. They really do kind of lose it. But I did try to work at McDonald's. I really, really wanted to, but they also didn't call me back.
What the hell? We need to get those jobs, damn it.
Right? I want to make some McFlurries. You know,
fulfill that dream, you guys, for one day.
That's what I've always said. If there ever comes a day, like if I won the lottery and money's not an object, but I still want to keep, like, you still want to do something. You don't want to just, I guess if you have a crap ton of money, you just sit around and count it. But,
right?
But like, part of me would be like, it'd be kind of, I just want to work at a McDonald's and just like kind of like take people's orders and just maybe like, you know, eat a couple fries when no one's looking.
Someone put this poor man on the fry line.
Someone make me win the lottery first.
A musical icon from Seattle just passed away. We're going to tell you all about it during the Daily Migs download after Def Leppard.
The Daily Migs Show. Knowledge is power. So give us five-ish minutes and we'll give you, some interesting stuff you can talk about at work. This is the Daily Migs Download.
A.K.A. the DMD.
Here's your daily dose of doings happening in the world.
And the DMD is brought to you by Palace Lawn. Do we have to talk about it again? The Seattle Seahawks. Man, that was a gut punch.
Yeah.
Like I saw, we were talking with Mitch Levy earlier this morning from Mitch Unfiltered, and I said, like, the game against the Buffalo Bills, that sucked. That was embarrassing. That was a tough one. But this one just hurt more. And he brought up a good point. He's like, because I think we all thought they could still win it. Even though they felt like the entire game, they're shooting themselves in the foot. There's all these sacks. There's these interceptions. These boneheaded plays on our center continues to not know where to throw the ball behind him to our quarterback. And yet there still was a chance that they could win that game. And it ended up not the case. They lost 26-20 in overtime. I guess the only highlights, I would say, the defense looked a lot better, especially when it came to the run game. They looked like, a ton better than they have recently, so that was cool. And then, I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba, just, he had an incredible game, and more importantly, he was on Danny and I's fantasy football team, so we needed him to do well, and he sure as hell did.
If there was
a bright spot, it was that. Now, what's next for the Seahawks? They're not going to lose this weekend because they're not playing. They got a bye, so hopefully they can figure this crap out and come back. Was it the take on, I think, the San Francisco 49ers?
That is correct.
That's a tough one, so they could come back and win that one. I think we'll be in a little bit better of a mood.
Quincy Jones, legendary musician, composer, producer, has passed away at the age of 91 yesterday at his home in California.
And I forgot he's got Northwest ties. You mentioned that when we saw the story.
I think his family first moved to Bremerton when he was really young, and then Seattle. He graduated from Garfield. And then over the course of his career, he collaborated with everyone from Michael Jackson and Frank Sinatra to Miles Davis. He also produced We Are the World.
And he was the guy, if you watch that documentary, it said, like, check your egos at the door. Dude, I'm looking at some of the stuff he produced. It is like some, like from one end of the spectrum to the other. Like you mentioned, Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. Then he goes to Frank Sinatra's Come Fly With Me. Then do you remember that? I'm not going to say it's my party. No, yeah, cry. He's responsible for that with Leslie Gore. Then to a weird version that was kind of cool and like trippy to Summer in the City. Like you said, We Are the World, Michael Jackson's Beat It, Thriller. I mean, everything he's had his hand in.
He had 80 Grammy nominations and 28 wins in his career. Very impressive. And yeah, we lost him yesterday at 91.
And this is definitely the story of the day when it comes to idiots. A 19-year-old guy from Texas, his name is Trenton. He was arrested for a DWI charge when he crashed into a donut place called Shipley Donuts. And the reason why I bring it up is because footage shows that he like hit the building. He was driving when his tires were blown. The airbags were deployed. All this stuff was going on. When he got arrested, he admitted to drinking before driving, even though he agreed to his friends to being the designated driver. Clearly, he did not know what his job was.
Oh, yeah, you're fired from that job for sure.
But here's the thing. This is his third alcohol-related arrest in 3 months. Why are you letting that guy be your designated driver?
Take his license.
So, yeah, he's been arrested. I think they should, and they probably will be taking his license. And he's got a bunch of other charges as well. Tonight, we got Monday Night Football. You got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Weather today, 57 degrees and cloudy. The DMD is brought to you by Jersey Mike. A sub above, and that's what's up. And a quick shout out to the Seattle Sounders moving on to the next round. They beat Houston, so that's good news, at least in the world of Seattle sports.
Let's go, Sounders. Ryan Castle, big Sounders fan. He's up next with your morning 12 pack.
The Daily Mix Show.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.